W1590 AM Denmark, W250 CV Green Bay,
and always streaming on the Civic Media app.
ABC News, I'm Rena Roy. The investigation into the freeway fire in downtown Los Angeles is focusing on arson. The blaze crippled I-10, a vital route for commuters and trucks. At a news conference today, Governor Gavin Newsom says he expects repairs to the damaged span, which stretches the length of 6 football fields, to take weeks, not months.
Relatively good news considering the alternative, a full demo, which would have been many, many months. We were looking at that 5 to 6 month period as the alternative, 3 to 5 weeks now.
Police don't have a motive or suspect. A deadly crash in Ohio today on Interstate 70 outside Columbus. Authorities say a charter bus, a semi, and other vehicles crashed. The bus was full of students from a school. Reports that at least 3 are dead. A rally in Washington, D.C. today drawing thousands from around the country, showing support in the March for Israel event and calling for the release of the 240 hostages being held by Hamas. This is ABC News.
Your news, conversations, and a whole lot of fun. It's all on your local Civic Media radio station or the Civic Media app.
Civic Media News. I'm Terry Bell. Here's what Wisconsin needs to know. Wisconsin taxpayers are one step closer to spending more than $500 million of public money for upkeep to American Family Field. An amended bill passed the state Senate this morning and is headed to the Assembly this afternoon. Assembly leaders and Governor Evers have said they support the amended bill that aims to keep the Brewers in Milwaukee. There's a new bill to get guns out of the hands of people convicted of domestic violence in Wisconsin. Representative Lisa Subek says victims are 5 times more likely to be killed if their abusers have a gun.
Imagine if those abusers didn't have access to firearms, how the results could have been different, the lives that could have been saved.
Since a state Supreme Court ruling last year, convicted abusers in Wisconsin have been able to legally have guns. I'm Terry Bell, Civic Media News. Here's what you need to know closer to home.
For WGBW 97.9, the talk of Green Bay News, I'm Pete Schwabe. The Wisconsin Department of Public Instruction has released its district-by-district report cards for the state. The report cards for the bigger school districts in Northeast Wisconsin typically met or exceeded expectations. The districts that met expectations include Oshkosh, Fond du Lac, Marinette, Green Bay, Appleton, Manitowoc, Shawnee, and the school district of Neenah actually exceeded expectations. There's a lot of data that goes into these reports, but you can find a more comprehensive breakdown of the numbers at dpi.wi.gov. 2 Manitowoc men are in custody after being caught with more than 40 grams of methamphetamine. Two Rivers police say they made a traffic stop at 1:45 a.m. Sunday morning on the city's south side and ended up searching the car. They also found drug paraphernalia and fentanyl. The two men are being held for possession with intent to deliver at the Manitowoc County Jail. And that's what you need to know. I'm Pete Schwabe, WGBW 97.9 News.
The Devil's Advocates Radio Show.
And the other fact that can now be confirmed. Reliable source, Mrs. Crudy. Derek Van Orden's staff will offer you a beer, Miller Lights, at least they're not Bud Light, at 10:30 in the morning, D.C. time on a Thursday.
D.C. Tell us, 9:30 Central, Crudy, that's pretty early.
The Devil's Advocates Radio Show,
weekday afternoons from 4 till 6,
on your local Civic Media radio station and on the app.
The Bucks win but lose a player. Hi, I'm Mike Clemens with sports. The Bucks get the win over the Chicago Bulls last night at Fiserv Forum, the final 118-109, but the team learned that they will be without forward Jay Crowder for 2 months. He needs surgery to repair a groin injury. Giannis Antetokounmpo.
You know, let's talk about Jay. It's going to be hard not to have him. His presence is very important to the team, making great plays offensively, so he's definitely going to be missed.
The Bucks head to Toronto to play the Raptors tomorrow night. Baseball. Reports say it appears that the Brewers will name bench coach Pat Murphy as the team's new manager. Craig Counsell says Cubs president Jed Hoyer called and met with him the first day he was a free agent.
Like, the organization is just in great health. Jed presented a very compelling vision of that. It is time to be a Cub. There is momentum happening here, and it feels close.
That's Cubs manager Craig Counsell. With sports, I'm Mike Clemens.
Your hometown radio refreshed. This is the Civic Media Radio Network.
Here's your updated forecast. Lows around 43 tonight under mainly clear skies, southwesterly winds 10 to 20 miles an hour. Lots of sunshine outside tomorrow. Daytime highs approaching 60. Mainly cloudy skies expected tomorrow night. Lows level off around 40. For Civic Media, I'm meteorologist Ray Miller. Right now, it's 56.
You know him as the nose tackle for the green and gold.
1993 to 1999. And again, 2001 to 2003.
125 games, 292 tackles, 7 sacks, and a Super Bowl ring. But there's more to life than stats. And there's more to life than football.
You're about to find out.
Under the Helmet with the Grave Digger. Featuring Packers legend Gilbert Brown.
Monday mornings at 8 on WISS and WGBW and on the Civic Media app.
You can always continue the conversation on social media. Share your thoughts when you find and follow Civic Media on Facebook, X, and Instagram. From I-43 to I-41,
this is the Talk of Green Bay.
1590 AM and 97.9 FM WGBW.
Okay.
Talking on all political subjects and taking on all callers, this is Matt Flynn Direct with your host, Matt Flynn.
Sooner or later, gotta cut you down.
Welcome back to the second hour of Matt Flynn Direct. Coming to you statewide on Civic Media. Our lines are open, 844-967-2789. Go right to the breaking news. There is a rally going on in Washington, D.C. On the mall, filling the mall, tens of thousands of people marching in support of Israel. They're expecting maybe about 60,000 people. What I liked was the reason for this, the signs. They say, march to free the hostages, march against anti-Semitism, and march for peace. All three of those excellent, excellent messages. Chuck Schumer, Senate Majority Leader, spoke. Mike Johnson, the Speaker, spoke in support. And there are other congressmen speaking as well as the President of Israel. Some sad news announced. There's been two more confirmations of deaths. People thought to be hostages. One was an elderly Israeli woman who was a peace activist, sort of a Bernie Sanders type of peace activist over there. And she had devoted her life to ferrying Palestinian kids out of Gaza with cancer to Israeli hospitals. But they nevertheless came in Hamas and killed her. There was another woman who was confirmed dead. She was a hostage. They put out a propaganda video on her, and she has now been confirmed dead. A beautiful woman, about 19. She was a private in the Israeli army. Right now, you know, there are about 240 hostages, some infants, number of kids under 10 years old. One of them is a 3-year-old boy who's an American citizen with no parents in there because they were killed. Hamas has talked about releasing some hostages in return for a momentary ceasefire. Israel has said they're happy to talk about that. But Hamas has not gone forward with any proposal at all. And the son of a senior Hamas official left the movement, and I think he now has refuge in the United States. And he gave an interview and he said, Hamas is not the Palestinian people. It's different from the Palestinian people. It's not an anti-colonial or any freedom fighting operation. It's part of Islamic Jihad, and its objective is a caliphate throughout that area and throughout the Middle East. So the concern is there's nothing that can be done. They are using tunnels underneath these hospitals to hold hostages and to launch attacks. The IDF gave a tour to American media, and that was confirmed by Kirby, the spokesman for the State Department today, that is, in fact, U.S. intelligence has confirmed that. So we want to see an end to all violence over there. Absolutely, but we want to see the release of those hostages. It was not only a war crime what Hamas did, but using civilians as shields. In other words, locating your command centers and your military operations below hospitals or schools is a war crime. It's against international law. Another development, this one I think is a good development, is Tommy Tuberville, who has been the scourge of our military, never served in the military himself, never ever served in the military himself, may be about to be circumvented. The Republicans have finally got off the dime. We're going to have to see. We're going to have to see how this works out. But here's the report. Here's what's happened. The Senate has a rule called unanimous consent. They think that they are just a committee of 100 and any one of them can veto anything in the government, anything, the budget, anything. Tommy Tuberville has vetoed the promotion of senior military officers in our military, admirals and generals, for now about 8 months. It's over 400 now. And our fighting men and women in the Mediterranean, in the Pacific, in some cases don't have commanding officers because of it. He says it's because he wants a law that in effect will prevent any woman who serves in the armed services, whose doctor advises her that she needs to have an abortion, she shouldn't be given leave to go and have one. That's what he says. What he doesn't say is he's also demanding that the next space station be located in Alabama. They already have one. And this administration and all the experts say it should be located in Colorado. So he's sacrificing our military. Well, there's another rule that says you can pass a resolution to break a objection based on unanimous consent, if two things happen, the Rules Committee lets it go out there, and the Democrats have the majority in the Rules Committee, and it gets 60 votes. Why 60 votes? Why not majority vote? Because of the filibuster. So Schumer has announced that they're going to do that, and I thought they were going to vote on it today. When I came on the air, they had not yet voted on it today. But immediately, Republican senators opposed this option. Rick Scott of Florida, as far as I know, he never served in the military either. But as far as I do know, he was one of the principals in the largest Medicare fraud settlement in the American history at the time. It was over $1 billion of a company. He was basically running. And the prosecutor said, subpoenaed him and said, I want to take your grand jury testimony. So he showed up. And they said, all right. And this, he was not a politician. Then they said, Mr. Scott, did you know about what was going on? And he said, quote, I refused to answer on the grounds that it might incriminate me, end quote. He took the fifth. He took the fifth like Trump did in some of his fraud depositions. He made a ton of money. They didn't prosecute him. He went to Florida, ran for governor, was elected. What, in Florida, they like guys who take the fifth on a Medicare fraud grand jury? Am I missing something here? If that happened in Wisconsin, the guy would never get elected in either party. Then he becomes a senator. Then he's thinking he may want to run for president. I'll tell you what, now, here's what he says. He says, we've got to support Tuberville. Oh, really? How about supporting the United States Chicken Hawk? Chicken Hawk, Fifth Amendment Chicken Hawk. How about supporting the United States? The question is, will 9 Republicans get behind this? The sad thing is, we don't have Chicken Hawks in our party, but we have Buttercups in our party. 51 votes, which is what we have, but unfortunately you have to count Sinema and Manchin. 51 votes, you can do anything you want in the Senate. You can get rid of the filibuster with 51 votes. You don't need 60. Get rid of it. You can get rid of it entirely. You can get rid of it for one bill. We could have gotten rid of it for voting rights and we wouldn't have any gerrymanders around the country. We could have gotten rid of it for soft infrastructure and we would have passed it earlier. The fact that it didn't pass cost us the governorship of Virginia 4 years ago and almost cost us the governorship of New Jersey 4 years ago. The fact is that nobody in the Democratic Party either wants to get rid of this. They like the prestige of being able to sit languidly in their chairs and go, oh, yeah, no, I object. Let's talk it out. Let's talk for months. They like that. But the serious immediate problem are the chicken hawks in the Republican Party. There's another problem with this procedure. It would immediately promote about 350 appointments, 350 of them, which means that a lot of these generals, admirals, captains, colonels would get promoted. Their families wouldn't be in limbo. Some of them sold their houses in anticipation, and then they got shafted. But for some inexplicable reason, but I'll explain it, it doesn't apply to any top level of promotion, like to the Joint Chiefs of Staff or a flag officer that leads a combatant command. What does that mean? Well, I'll tell you what. We don't have a commanding officer of the Fifth Fleet right now. And as I read this, that is a major combatant command. And we have several people on the Joint Chiefs of Staff, including the Commandant of the Marine Corps, that this wouldn't apply to. Why is that? Because I have a feeling, and this is only a feeling, but it's a pretty rational feeling, that Schumer went to Mitch McConnell and said, will you round up 9 people to give us 60 votes? And McConnell said, all right, I'll get you 9, but none of the big commands, because I will catch too much heat from Republican senators circumventing Tuberville this way. And that, I think, is what happened. So stand by. The good news is that we will have a lot of promotions. The bad news is, in some respect, the most important promotions. The Commandant of the Marine Corps, the Commanding Officer of the Fifth Fleet, for Pete's sake, right in the area, they are not going to be protected by this procedure. Now, they can be put on the floor, but Tuberville and Scott and a lot of other Republicans can filibuster and say, no, even 60 votes to get to this guy, to even talk about him. And Mitch McConnell hasn't promised that. And not only that, even if there were enough votes to talk about it, they can get up one at a time and read the entire Bible and the entire plays of Shakespeare and anything they want, Finnegan's Wake, Ulysses, and then they pitch it to one another like a lateral in football. And now the distinguished traitor skunk from this state can do it. This is going on while we're in a shooting war. What's coming up? Quite a bit is coming up. Quite a bit good stuff. How about this? How about Trump now denies that he has said he would leave the Republican Party?
Go and tell that midnight rider. Tell the rambler, the gambler, the backbiter. Tell him that God's gonna cut you down. Tell him that God's gonna cut you down. Tell him that God's gonna cut.
You're listening to the Talk of Green Bay, WGBW. As Goes Wisconsin with Kristen Bry.
Brittany, how many barometers do you own? It's a meteorologist thing.
Tell us the truth.
I've got 4 in my house right now.
That's not terrible.
I scaled down.
How many did you used to have?
I give them as gifts now.
Are you re-gifting me a barometer, Brittany?
We're down to 4. That sounds manageable.
As Goes Wisconsin with host Kristen Brock. Weekdays 10 till noon on your local Civic Media radio station and on the Civic Media app. As Goes Wisconsin with Kristen Brock.
The owner of a Michigan rental that's called The Castle is being sued by a group of 7 women who stayed there, found it consumed with bats.
Tell the best part, though.
The exterminator allegedly found multiple inches of bat guano kicking the floor.
I think I just threw up a little bit in my mouth. Oh, my God.
As Goes Wisconsin with host Kristen Brock. Weekdays 10 till noon on your local Civic Media radio station and on the Civic Media app.
Hi, we're the Goo Goo Dolls. We're fortunate that our daughters have what they need to grow and learn. But that isn't the case for nearly 13 million kids in the U.S. that struggle with hunger.
Childhood hunger is a heartbreaking reality that Feeding America is working to change. Each year, the Feeding America network of food banks rescues billions of pounds
Welcome
of good
back to
food
Director. That would have gone waste. Provides it to families and children in need.
You can help kids in need in your community by visiting feedingamerica.org.
An amazing video, I should say, audio that I just heard. Share it with you. I'd heard some of this, but not all of it. Back in January 2021, when it became clear that Trump had gotten at it, he'd run out of tricks. He'd run out of tricks, insurrection, staying in office regardless, blah, blah, blah. And he was leaving on the way out as he was leaving the White House. And one of the things you may remember is January 20, 2021, Biden became president at noon, but up until 11:59, Trump was president. And he commandeered Air Force One to fly him to Florida that morning. Well, he was still president. And on the way out, Ron McDaniel is this really bad nut who is the chair of the Republican National Committee. You know, she's Mitt Romney's niece. I have no idea what it's like at Thanksgiving dinner in that family because she's all for Trump and wasn't for her uncle and so on. But as he was going out of town, he told Ron McDaniel, Trump did, that he was going to leave the Republican Party and start his own party. The Republican Party was no good. It was junk. He was leaving it. And he was going to start his own party. And the news reported that there was a corroboration from a firsthand source. I've always suspected it was Ron McDaniel, although they don't disclose their sources. And they have that on tape. In the meantime, there's a guy named Jonathan Carl. And he is a senior editor and reporter at ABC News. And he wrote a book called Betrayal. And it's apparently a good book. I've not yet read it. He's now written another book. And in the course of an interview on it, he said, you know, I interviewed Trump. And I asked him about that threat to leave the Republican Party. Because now Trump is the front runner for that nomination. Salt, peaches, and cream. It's seashells and balloons. And he said, and Trump denied he ever said that. So the reporter said, can I listen to the audio? She said, sure. Played it for her, and it was broadcast. I've heard it. You may have heard it too. And here's what happened. Jonathan Carl says, what about that conversation we had with Ronna McDaniel on the way out last time? And Trump goes, yeah, what did she say? And Carl starts to ask another question. No, tell me, what did he say? Get right to it. What did she say? And Jonathan Carl said, she said that you said that you were going to leave the Republican Party and start your own party. And you know what Trump said? That's the sickest thing I've ever heard. That is pure bull. And then he used the full word. I've never said that. But there is also on tape corroboration for a firsthand witness when he did say it. When he did say it. This guy will not only lie, but he'll deny that he said something recently on the same subject. It's kind of a pathetic George Santos affliction. It really is. And he is running for president of the United States again. He's running for president of the United States again. I think we need some good news. Let me think about some good news. How about this? This is very good news. The Milwaukee Brewer stadium bill for maintenance looked like it was in doubt, and it could have resulted in the Brewers leaving Milwaukee. Thank God they will not, because it just today passed 19 to 14. There are 33 state senators. 19 to 14, 11 Republicans voted for it, but 8 Democrats voted for it. In other words, about 11 Democrats, the Republicans were split. They have 22 Republicans. Half of them wouldn't vote for it. There are only, I think, 12 Democrats, but 8 of them voted for it. So thank goodness. They made a few amendments, and they're fine. I mean, one of the amendments was to increase the tax on tickets of non-brewer events. And there were a couple of others on the governing board of the brewers. Robin Voss and the assembly have already said that they'll support it. Tony Evers has said he'll support it and he'll sign it. And the brewers will be staying here for another 27 years at least. So about the year 2050. And when I will be 103, but I will still go to brewer games. I'm just really glad. I mean, the Brewers and the Bucks in particular, and then of course the Packers, are just hallmarks of Wisconsin. They're hallmarks of Milwaukee. And it took a lot of negotiation. A lot of people said, and I think rightly, it'd be nice if these athletic teams bought their own stadiums, maintained their own stadiums, and so on. But if you stuck to that position, a market like Milwaukee would never have one, because we're a little short on billionaires in the state compared to other states. Yeah, we have some, but they show no inclination to get up and buy a sports team and pay for the stadium. Whereas there are billionaires in California, there are billionaires in New York and elsewhere who can do that. And they still screw around and they still try to get the municipality to pay for it. But the truth is, we'd lose the Brewers in a heartbeat if this had not happened. Bob and Madison, my friend, thank you for calling. Bob, what's in your mind today?
Well, I think the insurrection has never stopped. It may have started on January 6th, but the attacks on poll workers and the election workers and the whole thing is ongoing, you know, and you know, Trump makes a statement, and next thing you know, a guy shoots at the Cincinnati FBI office. I mean, he's instilling a riot at the national level. It may not be, you know, in a parking lot or something like that where everybody's gathered, but it's dispersed throughout the whole country, and he is inciting this riot against our election workers and other vital services. What do you think?
Yeah, I think that's an excellent call. You put your finger on something, because he went after the FBI and somebody shot at it, an FBI headquarters in Cincinnati. He's gone after Tanya Chutkan, she got a death threat. Jack Smith has had to sell his house and he has constant security for him and his family. And just recently, Trump went after his wife. Said, quote, she hates me more than he does. That's just a signal to millions of people that are on social media that she's a bad person. He just said that Judge Erdogan in New York and also Letitia James, the attorney general, should be subject to citizen's arrest. And the way he does it is sneaky. He reposts a nut who said that and puts it on his social media. Look, you know, you don't say your Facebook account. If somebody reposts something, they always do it because they agree with it. If they truly don't agree with it and they think it's just totally at a line, they'll say that. He posts and reposts violent stuff. The insurrection has not stopped. You're absolutely right. You're right to nail him on it. He's a violent individual who quotes Mussolini and Hitler. Who does that? He's a sick individual. He should not be president. Bob, great call. Coming up. Leonard Leo, investigated by an attorney general. Coming up.
Blood in the streets, it's up to my knee. Blood in the streets, the town of Chicago. Blood on the rise.
From the home of the frozen tundra, Green Bay's choice for news talk, 1590 AM and 97.9 FM WGBW.
Don't change the station, but do watch out for deer, would ya? You know, they're running around all willy-nilly. It is the Krebscast with me, Charlie Behrens, on Civic Media and the Civic Media app.
Civic Media News. I'm Terry Bell. Here's what Wisconsin needs to know. Wisconsin schools are doing better, according to the latest accountability report cards from the State Department of Public Instruction. 378 public school districts were evaluated, and 94% of them met, exceeded, or significantly exceeded expectations. DPI says achievement improved from last year to this year, though for many schools and districts, this year's performance is lower than before the pandemic. Expect slow going if you're leaving home for Thanksgiving. More than a million people in Wisconsin are expected to travel 50 miles or more for the holiday. AAA says that would be the third highest number for Wisconsin since 2019. By far, most will travel by car, but 113,000 plan to fly. A week from tomorrow is expected to be the busiest day at Wisconsin airports. I'm Terry Bell, Civic Media News. Here's what you need to know closer to home.
For WGBW News, I'm Pete Schwabe. The victim of a gunshot was involved in a head-on crash while driving himself to the hospital. The crash took place Monday on Green Bay's west side around 2:30 p.m. near Badger Street and Badger Lane. Authorities say the 20-year-old victim was shot near the 1600 block of Christiana Street. Police officials say the man crashed into a 32-year-old woman in an SUV. She was treated for minor injuries. The victim of the gunshot is in the hospital with serious injuries. Police are asking the public to come forward if they have any information on the incident. The Fox Cities Performing Arts Center is bringing the comedy to the Fox Cities. They've announced that comedians Jay Leno and Arsenio Hall will perform at the PAC on April 14, 2024. Tickets go on sale this Friday, November 17th. Warm weather is back this week. It might be mixed in with some overcast skies and some wind, but we'll see some sunshine and might hit 60 in parts of northeast Wisconsin. And that's what you need to know. I'm Pete Schwabe, WGBW 97.9 News.
Mino and the Mayor.
Jim Vandenhoevel, our very special guest, Vietnam vet. Again, you had to be saying to yourself, I am not on the farm in freedom anymore.
You know, it was scary for a while, but then you realize, and we all realize in our platoon, we kind of laugh about it because you had to keep your sanity, and that was one of the ways you did it. You almost got taken out today, and if you didn't do that, you wouldn't be able to stay focused on your job.
Weekday mornings from 6 until 8 on the Talk of Green Bay, WGBW, and Oshkosh Air Support, WISS.
The Bucks win, but lose a player. Hi, I'm Mike Clemens with sports. The Bucks get the win over the Chicago Bulls last night at Fiserv Forum, the final 118-109. But the team learned that they will be without forward Jay Crowder for 2 months. He needs surgery to repair a groin injury. Giannis Antetokounmpo.
You know, let's talk about Jay. It's going to be hard not to have him. His presence is very important to the team, making great plays offensively. So he's definitely going to be missed.
The Bucks head to Toronto to play the Raptors tomorrow night. Baseball. Reports say it appears that the Brewers will name bench coach Pat Murphy as the team's new manager. Craig Counsell says Cubs president Jed Hoyer called and met with him the first day he was a free agent.
Like, the organization is just in great health. Jed presented a very compelling vision of that. It is time to be a Cub. There is momentum happening here, and it feels close.
That's Cubs manager Craig Counsell. With sports, I'm Mike Clemens.
Weather brought to you by Bug Tussle. Bug Tussle, we're out there because you're out there.
Bug Tussle, we're out there.
Here's your updated forecast. Lows around 43 tonight under mainly clear skies. Southwesterly winds 10 to 20 miles an hour. Lots of sunshine outside tomorrow. Daytime highs approaching 60. Mainly cloudy skies expected tomorrow night. Lows level off around 40. For Civic Media, I'm meteorologist Ray Miller. Right now, it's 57.
Looking for a reliable, fast, and unlimited internet provider? Look no further than Bug Tussle. Whether you're streaming, gaming, working, or learning, Bug Tussle has you covered. Bug Tussle has continued to serve the rural communities of Wisconsin for over 20 years by providing the most reliable, high-speed internet and excellent local customer service. Call 877-227-0924 or visit bugtussle.com to get started. Bug Tussle. We're out there because you're out there.
Mino and the Mayor in the morning.
And the talk of Green Bay all day long.
1590 AM and 97.9 FM WGBW. UK.
In this sturdy old part of the city.
Welcome back to Matt Flynn Direct. Our lines are open, 844-967-2789. Well, I think this is a good development, just for public Coliseum for Integrity and Government. The Washington, D.C. Attorney General is a guy named Brian Schwald, and it's been announced that he is investigating Leonard Leo, for the transfer of $73 million over a six-year period, from 2016 to 2022, from his multi-billion dollar network of dark money nonprofit groups. You may remember this is the guy that got one of the, maybe the largest donation to a dark money, really a political contribution, supposed to be an issue contribution. Some guy gave him, I think it was $1.5 billion. He controls billions of dollars. He's the guy that was so involved with the Federalist Society. He's involved in working with Republicans to pick judges, all of whom belong to the Federalist Society. As a result of this investigation, because remember something, the Washington, D.C. is a federal entity, but it also is sort of semi-treated as a state because it hasn't been admitted to statehood. They'll have representing, you know, an observer in Congress and that kind of thing. And they do get to vote in presidential elections. So there's a U.S. attorney there for federal law, but there's also an attorney general, as if it were a state, and administering Washington, D.C. law. But Washington, D.C. law basically is subject to the approval of the Congress. It's a very weird thing. But anyway, this guy is their attorney general, and he is now investigating Leonard Leo for the transfer of $73 million. Now, here's the background. Immediately, Gymnasium Jim G.Y.M. Jordan and James Comer, he's the Kentucky guy that's always out trying to investigate Hunter Biden, everybody, Joe Biden, they demanded all of the materials from Brian Schwald's investigation. In other words, they are the recipients of Leonard Leo's money, like all Republicans. And the minute he's investigated, they interfere. They have no right to get those. In fact, it is not lawful for them to get it, but they did it to Fannie Willis. They've done it in New York. They immediately throw their weight around to try to scare prosecutors. And this is what they did. Fortunately, Brian Schwald has a lot of guts, and he told them to bug off. But here is what they claim. Now, even if you're not a lawyer, you're going to think about this and go, hey, wait a minute. They claimed that because Leonard Leo's dark money billionaire network is incorporated in other states, Washington, D.C. can't prosecute him. And Brian Schwald said, well, that's great, except for one thing. You can be incorporated in another state, but if you come to D.C. and commit criminal acts, you absolutely can be prosecuted in Washington, D.C. So you know what they've done now? They have moved the headquarters out of Washington, D.C. So the dark money group is incorporated elsewhere, and I think is setting up shop in Texas, if you can believe it. So he can continue to grab whatever money he wants out there. And unless a U.S. attorney gets involved in it, you can bet that the state prosecutors in Texas are not going to get involved. But here's the deal. Because of the way the law has been changed under Republicans, this dark money group is listed as a nonprofit. It pays no taxes. It doesn't disclose its donors. And it's registered as a charitable or social welfare organization, social welfare organization. It spent hundreds of millions of dollars to promote Neil Gorsuch, Brett Kavanaugh, and Amy Comey Barrett. Remember, he has billions under management. He may not have thought that grabbing $74 million over 6 years would be noticed. $74 million is a big number. It's a big number. And it was observed by these investigative reporters that his lifestyle, the lifestyle of his key allies, became quite lavish. Because remember something, if you're registered as a charity or as a social welfare organization, the first common sense you would ask, and you don't have to be a lawyer to ask this, is, well, why are you lobbying for these right-wing justices who are basically going to tank any social welfare thing that comes in front of them? And they say things like, well, we're a charitable organization and social welfare. We think it would be good for the social welfare to have these three judges there. That's not true. That's not true. Not a judge like Gorsuch, who got paid $500,000 once he became a Supreme Court justice for a crummy fishing cabin, $500,000 that he made over and above the debt and everything on it. They shouldn't be involved in lobbying. The problem is the Federal Election Commission is split 3-3 for any argument about federal violations of law. Republicans never vote to go after a Republican donor. We at least should know who donates to them. We at least should know who's on their board of directors, who decides these expenditures. When they make money and do it for lobbying, they should pay taxes. They should pay taxes. And yet the Republican Party is not only supporting this inquiry, this investigation, but trying to interfere with it, because both Jordan and Comer are head of committees that do this investigation, judiciary and House and oversight. Leonard Leo has gotten away with a lot for a long time. He's one of the principal ones that's glommed on to Clarence Thomas, facilitated a lot of the money that he got. But when they got that $1.5 billion, I think it was $1.6 billion, from the businessman in Illinois to do with basically whatever they wanted. Whatever they wanted. As long as our laws permit this, as long as our laws permit the setting up of fake charities and fake social welfare organizations that are just lobbying arms for the right wing of the Republican Party that are affecting our policy, it's been very difficult to change policy in this country. This is wrong and it's crooked. The problem is that trying to change it would have to go through the House, which the Republicans control, and then it'd have to go through the Senate, where you have unanimous consent rule and filibuster. And nobody in the Senate wants to change that. That's why we still have gerrymandering. That's why Citizens United got passed. Shelby County got rid of most of the Voting Act, got passed. Dobbs got passed or got issued, terminating Roe v. Wade. This is the consequence, the very, very real consequence. Well, it's hard. You don't want to laugh, but I'll give you something that really blew me away that you can laugh at. Do you remember a guy called the QAnon Shaman? The QAnon Shaman. Remember that guy? He was the cat with the face paint, the horns, the open chest, fur, howling. I mean, I have a feeling that people around the world watching this go, all right, look, a bunch of criminals decide to try to storm the Congress. Okay, it ain't great. It happens in our country. But we don't have guys with horns, face paint, bare-chested, howling with fur on. That is a strange ranger. Well, very, very shortly, he could be Congressman QAnon Shaman. He was criminally prosecuted, yeah. He was convicted, yeah. He has declared for Congress in Arizona. And I was thinking, and this is a weird rogue thought, I probably shouldn't even share this, but I was thinking, what would happen if there were an election between the QAnon Shaman and Paul Gosar, or the QAnon Shaman and Matt Gaetz, or the QAnon Shaman and Jim Jordan? And I was told I had to vote. I've got to confess, I would vote for the QAnon chairman over Matt Gaetz, Jim Jordan, and Paul Gosar, because he can very plausibly get up at a debate and howl, and it'd be nice if he wore horns and face paint and had bare-chested with fur, and, you know, all that'd be great. And they'd say, well, how are you qualified to be in Congress in the great state of Arizona? What makes you qualified? And he'd say, well, I looked around, and Paul Gosar's in it, and Matt Gaetz is in it, and Gymnasium Jim GYM Jordan is in it. And as weird as I am, and as weird as I dress, and as weird as I think, I don't come close to their criminality. If he said that, the crowd would cheer. I'd like to think that there was a Democrat in that district, whichever one it was, who could beat him, but I have a feeling that he's not running in a Democratic district. And I'll tell you what, you'd think that he'd lose the primary. And I have two concerns about that. One of them, who's he losing it to? If they could be a lot worse than he is. Number two, yeah, he might lose the primary. What if he doesn't lose the primary? To have the effrontery to run for Congress when you're the QAnon shaman, how about the guy that sat in Nancy Pelosi's desk and went through her desk? And I think he stole a computer. I mean, hey, why not all of them run as Republicans? Why not all of them run as Republicans? Because frankly, what they were doing as insurrectionists was carrying out the wish of a majority of the Republican caucus. Remember, over 140 Republicans voted not to certify Joe Biden. Even after the insurrection, they voted not to certify him because Trump had said there was fraud. They knew there was no fraud. They knew that 60 or so courts had looked at it. They knew that. But they voted, including Kevin McCarthy, by the way, including Gymnasium Jim GYM Jordan, including Mike Johnson. Two of them now speakers, McCarthy and Johnson are past speakers, and the other one, Jordan, wanted to be. That didn't bother anybody. They got a lot of votes. And what's even worse is Mike Johnson, the present speaker. You know, I said earlier in the show, in the previous hour, well, you know, at least he's putting a continuing resolution. He was one of the main election deniers. You know, I joke about he has no checking account. That's not a joke, by the way. It's a sad darn thing, and I don't believe it. But he was the guy that got 100 Republicans to sign on to that corrupt brief out of Texas that said, we in Texas are offended. We're offended by the votes in Wisconsin and Pennsylvania. Reverse them. Who are they? Who do they think they are? What do you mean they're offended? I'm offended if my vote is thrown out. Kathy of Forest Park, Illinois. Thank you for calling, Kathy. We have about a minute left. What's in your mind today?
Well, hi there, Matt. As always, a great show. Can I just throw out a question? And that is, wouldn't this guy, the shaman, be a great test case for the 14th Amendment? And anybody like him? Maybe we need to put together a prosecution fund or something for people like that to I know that wouldn't work for a elected prosecutor, but I'm just saying, you know what I mean, they put their defense funds together, whatever. We should be able to put together something that promotes applying the 14th Amendment.
That is a brilliant comment. I'm going to start commenting on it now and then a little after we get to the next topic, but what Kathy has just said, it never occurred to me. He was in the insurrection. You know, Trump said, well, I went to the White House, I wasn't it. The shaman was. He was howling on TV. Perfect for the 14th Amendment. What's coming up? What's coming up is Biden and Xi in San Francisco. High stakes. Kathy, thanks for calling with that excellent suggestion.
The Talk of Green Bay, WGBW.
Did you know there are some secrets behind the long-running popular Trans-Siberian Orchestra concert?
Organized chaos.
That's my favorite kind of show.
That's the best show ever.
Al Petrelli is the music director, guitarist, and an original member of Trans-Siberian Orchestra. TSO kicks off its winter tour in Green Bay November 15th.
That not only is there two shows in Green Bay on November the 15th, there's a show in Council Bluffs, Iowa on the 15th.
But that's not all. In 46 days, TSO has 104 shows.
This thing grew up. It opened its eyes 28 years ago. It has grown up and broken every rule.
Breaking rules by taking two TSO bands on the road to perform in two cities almost every night. The tour ends in Milwaukee, 62 cities after Green Bay. One other secret, every stop includes a portion of the ticket sales given back to local charities. Learn more at trans-siberian.com. I'm Terry Barr.
This is the Talk of Green Bay, WGBW.
Welcome back to Matt Flynn Direct. Our lines are open, 844-967-2789. Listen, I really am very taken with Kathy's remark. It had not occurred to me. But the reason that Trump has wiggled out of the 14th Amendment thing is because, hey, I wasn't in the insurrection. I was exercising my right to free speech. I said they had a fight. I didn't know they'd go up there and beat up cops. And, you know, he lied, of course. But I went back to the White House. He didn't say that he wrestled with a Secret Service agent for the wheel and wanted to go up there. So technically, I'm not an insurgent. Well, that argument doesn't fly because a Confederate general couldn't say, oh, I wasn't part of the insurrection. I never had a bayonet or anything. I stayed back in the command headquarters. Well, you ordered it, didn't you? Well, yeah, but it wasn't me. It was the guys. Screw the guys, basically. I think that the decision so far saying that Trump can be on the ballot are wrong. But Kathy is pointing out something very good, and that is the QAnon shaman was a guy on the front lines. He did invade the Capitol. He was photographed and videoed and audioed in the Capitol. He had horns on. He had a bare chest, fur, war paint, and he howled. He howled like a wolf. He did. He howled like a wolf. I frankly thought he was mentally ill, but he'd be perfect. The Republican caucus in Congress, I'll tell you that. But the point is, right, maybe we should put together a fund to fund him so he does win the thing and then bring an action for declaratory judgment and an injunction saying you have a classic insurrectionist. He was there. He physically went into the Capitol. He didn't have a White House to go back to. He went into the Capitol and he did things in the Capitol that are criminal because he was convicted. He was convicted. So under the 14th Amendment, he should not be able to run or accept a seat in Congress. And you know what that would do? At some point, that would test not only the 14th Amendment, but the resolve of our judiciary. Our judiciary right now is, I don't want to say in a mess, because we need a good judiciary. And it turns out that a lot of judges, no matter who they were appointed by, did the right thing. In other words, of the 60 judges that all said that Trump had lost the election, some had been appointed by Trump. Some had been appointed by George W. Bush. Some by Obama. Some by Clinton. I think maybe even one by George H.W. Bush. And across the board, they did the right thing. But now we have some who don't do the right thing. We have this Eileen Mercedes Cannon down the Mar-a-Lago case. We have this guy in Amarillo, Texas, who will ban anything, even if the FDA approved it, if the Republican Party doesn't want it approved. And we have the six tarantulas. We have Clarence Thomas. We have Alito. We have Gorsuch. And unfortunately, they're right at the top of the heap. And we have Kavanaugh, who has shown some ability to do something moderate. Amy Comey Barrett, the same. And then Roberts, who was appointed by George W. Bush and tries to pose as a moderate. But he was one of the architects of Republican policy back in the 80s and 90s as a lawyer. And one reason why he sucked his way up the greasy pole to be in the Supreme Court is because he's a Republican operative. He's a Republican operative. And several of these people believe in the independent legislature theory, which says that you don't have a constitutional right to vote for president. You have a constitutional right to vote for your legislature, but they have a constitutional right to gerrymander themselves, and then they can vote for president, not you. Your vote for president is a beauty contest. That view is held by Gorsuch, Alito, Clarence Thomas, and historically by Roberts, if he sticks to it. So we have the three Democrats, and it depends on Kavanaugh and Amy Coney Barrett. So that is an excellent, excellent suggestion from Kathy. At some point, we need a judiciary that enforces, say, the 14th Amendment. Well, Joe Biden on his way to San Francisco to meet with Xi, the premier of China. Thank God it's Joe Biden and not Donald Trump, or in fact, anybody else. Donald Trump is the most, or Joe Biden is the most experienced foreign policy president we've ever had, just by the dint of 50 years in the Senate, vice president, and everything he's done. He said he's going to confront Xi on Chinese provision of fentanyl chemicals to Mexico, which then turns into fentanyl and kills 70,000 people a year in this country. He's going to confront him on communications. It's axiomatic that even if you have adversaries at that level with nuclear weapons, the line, there has to be a hotline open at any time. If our Secretary of Defense wants to call their Secretary of Defense or equivalent or vice versa, or Biden wants to call Xi or vice versa, you have to be able to do that. The Chinese severed that. We have it with Russia right now. We have it with Russia right now, but the Chinese severed it. They're petulant. From China's point of view, their economy is in the tank. Now, what do I mean by that? Yeah, they seem to have assets, but they're facing deflation. Japan faced deflation in the 1980s. Up until then, Japan had the hottest economy in the world. When deflation set in, and it's persisted for, well, almost 40 years. When you have deflation, you think inflation is bad. When prices keep going down, people can't make money. There are no jobs. You end up in a depression. I mean, that's what happened with the Great Depression. We have a lot of arrows in our quiver. We continue to bring Chinese students in from communist China. They come to our universities. They steal intellectual property. They learn how to build nuclear weapons at MIT and Caltech. I'm not sure why we do it, quite frankly. Maybe if a couple of them wanted to be come in and be English majors or something, or philosophy majors. But Biden has a lot of ammo on his side, too. And all I can say is, thank goodness it's Joe Biden. Thank goodness it's Joe Biden. Well, coming up is a great show, Devil's Advocate with Diamond Crute. A lot of subjects we didn't get to today. But we'll know more about Biden's meeting with Xi for tomorrow's show. We'll know more about how the continuing resolution got voted on, how it got a two-thirds majority, all the ins and outs of it. Matt Flynn Direct, be back same time, same place tomorrow. Sign off for today.
Broadcasting from the City Deck Studios on North Washington Street, the talk of Green Bay, 1590 AM and 97.9 FM WGBW. The Civic Media Network of radio stations across Wisconsin. It's your hometown radio, refreshed. The Talk of Green Bay, 1590 AM and 97.9 FM WGBW programming is broadcast from the Bug Tussle Studios.
Bug Tussle, keeping you connected to the world around you.
Be a part of the resistance. Check out the Paul Revere Show with Mark Thompson, Monday nights at 7 on the Talk of Green Bay,
1590 AM and 97.9 FM WGBW and on the Civic Media app.
We've all felt left out. And for people who move to this country, that feeling lasts more than a moment. We can change that. Learn how at belongingbeginswithus.org. Brought to you by the Ad Council.
You're listening to the Talk of Green Bay.
WGBW 1590 AM Denmark. W250 CV Green Bay.
And always streaming on the Civic Media app.
ABC News.